But God is good, amen? The Spirit of the Lord is at work and he's moving. Thank you guys for being present with us, those of you that are in the house. And as Pastor Chalks has already alluded to, we know that there are a lot of you guys that are watching us online from Colorado to Port A. Thank you guys so much. And even in Arkansas, amen. You almost won yesterday, Arkansas. You almost won. It was a bad call at the end of the game, but that's okay. It's all right. You guys are in the Father's house today. And as we just sang, anything's possible. So anyway, we are glad that you guys are with us today. Listen, we were praying earlier this morning, and I really believe this. I don't know about you, but we pray and ask for revival to come. I think we're in it. I really do. And some of you going, so bro, are you not listening and watching what I'm watching and listening to? Now, I just believe that there is a move of God happening right now, that we know that there are things taking place in the unseen that we can't see. And I really believe that it's happening right now. Revival has broken out. And so here's what I'm just praying for us, is that we would step into that. That we would step into it, okay? That we would not miss this moment that I believe that God is giving us as the church to step into some deep, dark, painful, broken places and for us to shine the light of Jesus into those. Are you with me today? Whoa, I just ran over something. Whoa, it's good. Sorry, this is crazy. But I just really believe that this is the time for us to rise up and to speak into that, amen? And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I sent a note out to the staff this morning, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. This is what the created beings are singing in heaven right now. All the creatures are gathered around the throne and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Say that with me. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I'm telling you, that is on a continued repeat in glory right now. And here's the deal, that not only are they singing that, but today we have the opportunity, we have been singing that very thing. We've lifted high the name that is above every other name. Listen, I don't know where your world is and how jacked up it is right now, but I just want you to know that Jesus is greater than anything that you're facing right now. Now, I don't know how your situation might turn out. I don't know when the bad will be overtaken with something good. I don't know that, but I just know that with my God, all things are possible. And I want you to hang on to that, okay? The one that we read about who was, still is, and he is still to come, okay? And there is a breakthrough. There is something coming in your life and in your world. Just give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Hey, sing this with me. We've been singing. Let's continue. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. O Lord our God. Come on, sing it again. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. O Lord our hallelujah. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever dream or ask, to him be glory in the church forever and ever and ever. And the church said, amen. Come on, let's give him glory today. Woo! Man, I got the mother dove up. All right. Hallelujah. Woo, it is on. Devil doesn't stand a chance. Amen. Man, we're so glad. Aren't you glad you woke up today and got to the house? And for those of you that aren't with us in person, hey, listen, there's always next week. And we would love to have you here and see you face to face. I know that some of you don't need to be here. And we respect that and we honor that. But there are some of you that can get here. And we want you to get to the house as soon as you can. Amen? So you guys sound so good. Man, y'all blew 8:30 out of the water today. It's amazing. Hallelujah. But man, so good. Glad you. We're going to continue today in this series entitled "The Church." And the staff's doing this down front, meaning let's go. But we're going to continue. We're looking at this beautiful thing that God created for us. Listen, God created this. He did. God created you and me. He created us for Him. But then God created this thing called the church for us. This thing called the church is created by God. But it's created for us. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, I will build my church. You know who this house belongs to? Jesus. It's His. It's His. He built this. And He says, when I build something, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hey, y'all know that there was a time in which the enemy thought he had beaten Jesus, right? But you know, there's a song, I think, by a group named Alabama that says you can't keep a good man down. Come on, somebody. And Jesus defeated Satan when He rose from the grave. Amen. And as much as it looks like the enemy is having a heyday, and by the way, listen, our battle right now that we're in is not against flesh and blood. Hey, can we start doing what we just sang about in that first song? Can we love the world like God loves the world? Listen, I don't know who you're voting for. I've already told you guys, I'm going Kanye, okay? And so, that's a joke. I just lost viewership online. Our numbers are dropping right now. So, but listen, we've got to stop being ugly towards one another. Listen, God loves the world, and we've been so ugly to Him, but you know what He does? He still loves. Now He don't have to like what we do and what we say sometimes, right? But we need to love people. Our enemy is not one another. It's not flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities and the powers of this dark world. Are you with me today? And so how can we step into that and still speak love and truth with one another? But let's give grace and honor and let's just, can we be, God, man, we just need to be good to each other. Amen? Are you guys okay with that? Haters are gonna hate, and I'll get some mail. That's okay. That's all right. You can send it to me, and I'll be glad to correct you. We're in the series entitled "The Church," and the church is not perfect either, right? Just as you're not, well, it's not because we're not, right? We're still broken. For anybody in this room, by a round of applause, do you have it all together? You're perfect. You have no problems in life. Let me hear you. Good. That's what I thought. We don't. And this thing is broken. Jesus said, I'm going to build it. And we've been talking about, we have wandered away from I think God's ideal for us as a church. But a lot of people say, you know, I'm leaving this church and I'm going to go to another church. You know, people are on a journey looking for the perfect church. You know that, right? There is one. It's just not here on earth. It's called heaven. That's right. So if you want the perfect church, just pray for the Lord to take you there right now. But we will be in one day. It's called heaven. It's called glory. But so many people, they bail out. And listen, it's not just the church of 2020 that's got issues. You know, all throughout Scripture, man, the church was jacked up. It was broken. It was. There's never been a perfect church. For instance, the Galatian church. The church in Galatia, and there's a book written, a letter written to them. They struggle with old school legalism. Hey, what about the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus? Well, we know that in Revelation, the angel says, hey, listen, you guys have lost your first love. Hey, the church at Laodicea, check this out. You guys are lukewarm. Hey, church at Corinth, you Corinthians, don't get me started on the Corinthians. They were really jacked up. I mean, they had this infighting with one another that, hey, I'm spiritually superior to you. I know that would never happen in our church where somebody says, I'm more holy than you are, or I've got it all figured out. I think we talked about we're on a journey. We sang that just a few minutes ago. They were suing one another in public courts in the church, that they had were misusing and abusing communion. And we could go on for days about their sexual misbehavior. Wow. All these churches that we read about, in fact, most of the New Testament are letters written to these churches. You know why? Because they were jacked up. They weren't being who they were called to be. So not that doesn't give us a blank check. Hey, can we reverse this curse that's been going on for a long time? And let's become the church that Jesus dreamed of when he created us. Amen? I'm willing to do that. Are you? I'm willing to hang in there and fight and us go together. But it's amazing to me that despite all of these flaws that I just described to you about all these churches, that God still uses it to turn the world upside down. We are still his institution of hope. It's the organization of the church that Jesus has always looked at and say, you know what? I'm going to use you guys to usher in my glory and my presence to the nations. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments. Why are we missing it so much? I mean, it's not just a New Testament problem, but even today, I think it's because of our commitment. I know that some of you have already said this that are watching us online. You need to be at home because of some health issue or concern. I get that. But there are some of us, we're just not committed to this thing that Jesus calls his bride. The groom is committed, but the bride is not. We have a lack of commitment today. And for whatever reason, there's so many options for us on a Sunday or during the week. You know, we can just download and watch Pastor YouTube or Pastor Google during the week. And we don't need to be together with other people, right? I'm just telling you, you were never created to go at this thing called the Christian life alone. You weren't. You need other people. And we've been dealing with that and talking about it. But we just lack commitment. We divide our resources and our time between other things in life, other organizations. People will even bounce around from church to church. They get upset or frustrated at one, they're just going to bounce to another one. I wish you could see my dry erase board in my office. I'm not going to take you in there because my desk is a wreck right now. I like to think that that's a sign of a genius at work, right? But it's not, it's just messy, okay? I have a hard time saying no and throwing, I could be on Hoarders. I just have a hard time saying no. Anybody can relate to a preacher today? Thank you, honesty on the back row. Thank you guys so much. But I have this written on there, are we reaching people or swapping sheeple? And so many churches are growing today. We know that church attendance is on a decline, but so many churches are growing, not because they're reaching people. They're just swapping sheeple. They're just swapping sheeple. They're already swapping believers. You know that one believer gets mad, frustrated, or upset, or wants something else, and so they just bail out on the family, and they just leave. They go somewhere else. And I know that sometimes God moves people. But what I have just found in 30 years of serving the local church, a lot of times people just bail out and leave, you know? They just don't wanna work through things together. So we've been dealing with this thing called the church. And listen, we believe that God has a local church for everyone. And if we're not for you, we're cool with that. Let us help you find a place. Listen, you need it and they need you. Can I get an amen there? You need it and they need you. We would be honored to help you find a house. But we're just not committed. Hey, what would your marriage look like if you were just committed to it 20% of the time? Wouldn't be very healthy or strong, would it, right? Or I'm just gonna talk to my spouse or my significant other 20% of this week, you know? Wouldn't be very, very healthy. But that's how a lot of people treat this thing called the bride, the church, this very thing that Jesus created. We're passive towards things like serving and giving and even the outreach of the church and the community presence that God has called us to be a participant. In fact, there's that statistic that's been around for years that 80% of the work in the church is done by 20% of the people. Man, things have got to change. We're not committed. The church has become filled with spectators, not people that are really wanting to get engaged. And I'm telling you, the pastoral staff is getting burned out from doing it all. I think the problems within the church today are even similar to what we look in the New Testament, but they're even greater than this 80-20 principle. Hey, listen, I found a statistic that said 39% of believers, 39% of Christ followers don't even believe that the Bible is the literal word of God. Whew. Some of us as Christians put more hope and faith in O Magazine than we do the word of God. That'll preach. Haters gonna hate. Less than 20% of believers believe in what the Bible says about being generous and giving. You know, there are less than 5% of believers have literally ever in their lifetime ever witnessed or shared their faith with someone who doesn't know Jesus. And we wonder why the church is not prominent like it used to be. In fact, you guys have heard me say, if you're a church member and you attend once a month, you're now considered a regular attender. Something's got to change. Would you agree with me? In fact, here's what I want to say today. Let's quit church. You won't hear another preacher and Bernie say that probably. Let's just quit it. Let's just quit. Let's just bail out. I'm talking about let's quit church based on how we've been viewing the church and how we've been treating the very bride, the very thing that Jesus, let's quit. Can you imagine if we were to quit this casual approach to gathering together or living on mission together like we talked about last? Can you imagine if there was a spiritual hunger like we talked about last week, that this thing called the church is supposed to help us grow in our faith? Can you imagine if we would just quit casually viewing this thing as, hey, if I have time on my weekend, or if I have time to participate in a Bible study group at home, or hey, if I have time to actually walk out in my neighborhood and actually look like I care about people in Jesus? What would happen? I'm telling you, if we could get past this casual way of thinking and viewing towards the church, I'm telling you, we would be living radical lifestyles. Your personal faith would be growing. Our community would have a hard time saying no to Jesus because we would be influencing it with the gospel. Can you imagine if we were to change our way of thinking towards the church? Hey, biblical generosity would increase big time. Listen, can you imagine how our service in the kingdom would significantly change if we just changed the way we viewed this thing called the church? Well, what if we stopped just seeing this as something to attend and started seeing this place as a place to belong and be engaged and help fulfill the Great Commission? You know, we've been looking in the book of Acts. In fact, some of you in your group studies have been studying that, and I hope it's been rich. I hope it's been awesome and encourage you. But when you look at the very first local church, listen, when a person says yes to Jesus, they are immediately a part of the family of God, the big C universal church. But then Jesus creates this thing called the local church. The first local congregations we read about in the book of Acts, you know, we're studying them. And when you read about how they function and how they operate, it's quite different than how we function and operate today. These people met together daily in the temple and from house to house. They shared meals together. They're crazy people. They sold their possessions. If they saw someone else that was in need, they would sell their own stuff in order to help somebody else out. We know that they were eat up. They were hungry for the word of God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. We know that they would leave those gatherings and go and live for Jesus. They were performing signs and wonders. They were just being Jesus, representing him in their communities. And their lives were in danger. Even when they're threatened, even when their life, they would never renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. You think we've got it tough? Man, these people were hardcore for the Lord. Amen? They loved him and they were committed to it. You know, I think that one of the reasons we've lost our way as a church is that many of us are neglecting this very fact that we have a role to play in the church. But more importantly, we have a role to play in the world. Man, as I look around this room today, there are some gifted and talented people in this room that God is wanting to call out to serve and to be involved in ministry in some form or fashion. And listen, I know that it's cliche, but the goal is not just to attend church or go to church. Listen, I get it. We are the church. But here's what I believe about the church. I think that we're much stronger when we're together with other people. In fact, I want you to know that together has power. Together has power. Have you ever heard about this law? I don't know if it's a law or if it's a principle. Law or principle, I'm probably wrong. Correct me when I do screw this up. It's called synergy. Not S-I-N. Churches eat up with that too, right? But S-Y-N, synergy. Synergy goes like this, that a draft horse can pull about 8,000 pounds by himself. You put another draft horse with another draft horse, you would think two draft horses that can pull 8,000 pounds, they could pull about what? 16,000 pounds, right? That's not true. Two draft horses pulling together can actually pull about 24,000 pounds of weight. But you know what happens when those two draft horses not only work together, but they've trained together and they have a common goal and a common mission and they're actually working together? They can pull around 32,000 pounds of weight. Together has power. And when we're together as the body of Christ, and when we're pulling together and serving together, we've been trained and equipped together, we are able, come on, to accomplish so much more than on your own. You can. We do more together. Now listen, I know that there are so many of us that probably need a season of sitting in the back row for some therapy. I get that. But make no mistake about it, how God views you. Every follower of Christ has a role to play in this thing called the local church. Even if it's not your favorite role or even if it's not the role that you're used to. Listen, I believe there's a role for you to play. You are too gifted. You're too talented. There's too much in you to contribute. I know that the world may say you'll never amount to anything. You're too slow. You're dumb. You'll never measure up. Listen, we get those messages all the time. But I want you to know today that that's not how your heavenly Father sees you. He sees someone with incredible potential. He sees someone that he wants to use. So next time somebody starts mouthing off and talking trash about you and you'll never measure, say, that's okay. Your words really don't mean much to me because the creator of the universe looks at me and sees great worth and value. To him, I'm something. To you, not so much. Get over it. Just tell them that. They'll shut up. They'll leave you alone. No more bullying on the playground. No more, you know, bullying at the water cooler. Well, just God sees you and there's something in you that he wants loosed in this thing called the church. You need this. But can I also tell you, this church needs you as well. It needs you. God could easily do his work on earth without us. Well, do we agree to that? Come on. Did God consult any of you guys when he said, hey, moon and sun, what should I do with these things? No, he didn't ask you. He doesn't need us. But yet we've said in this series that God always works through means. And you know, the means of God functioning and operating today here on earth is through people like you and me. What? Yes, broken, flawed, jacked up people that sometimes make mistakes. Am I talking to anybody right now? You're in the Father's house. Miracles take place, right? Yeah. But God still wants to work through us to accomplish his plan here on earth. And as we use our time and as we use our gifts, as we use our resources, I'm telling you, we're able to accomplish so many things. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. You know why we exist? Local churches exist to display God's glory to the nations. This is why we're here. When God called me to plant a church in Bernie, Texas, he didn't call me to plant a church. He called me to influence a city. And I'm so glad that God didn't just say that to me, but he's called some of you too to be a part of that. You see, this is good. Gathering's good and dialing in and watching online because you can't physically be with, that's good. But there is more to it. Listen, we are here to go there and influence it with the good news of Jesus Christ. Are you with me today? And we're not gonna stop across the street. We're not gonna stop in the next community. We're gonna go to the ends of the earth, the nations. Did we not sing, for God so loved the world, that the world, not you, but the world. And he wants to use us, church. You ready to be a part of that? You ready to be a part of being used by God to accomplish great and awesome things? The Bible constantly is teaching us that the church, we are the body of Christ here on earth. We are not independent, but we're interdependent upon one another. Just as our bodies have so many parts that work together. Listen, this room is filled with people and people dialed in. You're gifted and you're part of this body. You know what happens when one part of your body's not functioning or operating the way it should. The whole body suffers. We need each other. We need one another. Attendance is necessary. Your presence, I said, preaches. But members, we do more than just attend. We work together. We serve. Now, we know that in this thing called the church, there's a group called the staff whose responsibility, as Paul would say in Ephesians 4:12, is to equip God's people to do his work. We equip them and we build them up. We build up the church, the body of Christ. We equip you to build the church, the body of Christ up. A few verses later, he would say in verse 16, he makes this whole body fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You know what that means? You are to use your gifts within the body of Christ so that God can work through us to accomplish great and awesome things. That's your role. It's not just to sit and soak, but it's to go and serve. How you doing? Are you serving? Are you engaged in the life of the church? Are you using your talents and your gifts? And you need to know this. You need to use those gifts to serve other people. You've been gifted not to brag and boast and get a letterman's jacket that says on the back. You've been gifted to serve others. And as Paul says in Ephesians 4, to build up this thing called the body of Christ. You need the church. But the church also needs you. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter would say this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. I use my gifts in this corporate setting, not to build me up, but to make this a better house. And when I'm working together with other people, there's power as we leave this house. We do things unimaginable. In fact, I love what it says. You don't have this, just trust me. In Romans chapter 14, verse 19, Paul would say, let us aim for harmony in the church and let us try to build each other up. I love that. I love seeing people that will serve. They're leaders in this house. In fact, watch this video right now about one of them.
I'm Renee Bennett, and I come to 1910. I've been here for about 3 years, and I serve in Refuel. So I started serving in Refuel just out of compassion for my friend that was running Refuel at the time and just needed some extra hands. But I found out it's much more than that. Serving for me has been such a blessing. I feel so many times the Holy Spirit. When I see someone that I see regularly, that it gives me the opportunity to reach out to them to make sure that they're okay. If they need a prayer, they can find it there. And to be able to feel that coffee is not all that we're serving in Refuel again. It's such more than coffee. And I appreciate the opportunity to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak through me when others need it, when we don't even know they need it. I think sometimes church is a scary place for people to go, like, well, I'm just gonna feel bad, you know, or I don't know anybody. I had a lady come back this past Sunday, and she and her husband were first timers, and she said, I'll be back next Sunday. I said, great, come see me, you know, and we'll have coffee. It was just so sweet that they could come and be comfortable, come and feel welcomed and be loved. And we have such great people here that you want to come back. You want to come back and fill that cup again.
I love that, Renee.
I think if it's been on your heart to serve, that just try it. It's not scary. There's no magic about it other than just feeling like you belong here and this is your home. And just as you serve in your own home, your home church is a great place to serve. And I think that once you start, you won't want to stop.
I love that, Renee, we didn't send her to Columbia to train with the greatest brewmasters ever. She just saw need and she stepped in to fill that need. And aren't you thankful for the 1910 brewmasters? I tell you, I am, because it gets me going in the mornings. But I love that. Just, I saw a need and I stepped in. A friend invited me. There was a void. Hey, what are you doing to use your gifts? How are you using them within this house? But not just here. We transfer that into ministry to a world around us. See, that's why we exist, for service and ministry. I just feel like this is a safe place. This is a great place for some of you to get started here with family, grace giving, and all that. But what happens is it transfers into all aspects of your life, in the workplace, the schools you attend, all of your friend groups and circles, in your home. I'm telling you, it spills over. We're called to use our gifts in the house, but outside of this house as well. In fact, I have a reading assignment for you this week. Just look at John chapter 13. Read verses 1 through 17 and just see what Jesus spoke about this very thing, about how we're to live our lives and what we're supposed to be about. Guys, listen, there's too much in you to keep to yourself. Let God use you to make His name famous to the ends of the earth. Would you stand with me this morning? And our ministry team is going to join us down front. These are people also that just, they serve and they pray over people. And I know that some of you at some point in your life have been the recipient of a word of prayer and encouragement from our ministry team. Have you not? Aren't you thankful for them? Right? And today they're going to stand down here in front as well, ready to pray over you and receive you today. So if you're hurting and there's a pain that you're going through, please come down and let us encourage you today. If you feel comfortable doing that, we would love to. Listen, what are you going to do to get engaged in the life of this church? What are you going to do to not only be involved in the life of this church, but to engage a world that is in desperate need, would you agree with me, of some Jesus in it? They need us. Let us not continue to hide under a bush. Oh no. Let us shine His light to a world that needs to see Him. And so, Father, that's my prayer for all of us today, is that we would understand that this place exists for serving and for ministry. It's not about us just coming to sit and soak, but there are opportunities today, not only to brew coffee. God, we can help park cars. God, we can help teach kids about Jesus. We can sing and dance. We can organize and administrate things, God. We can teach groups. We can pray over people, Father. God, we can run lights and sound and cameras. There's so many things today for us to do. And God, this house is filled, and people watching us online, there are more than enough. There are some gifted and talented people. God, thank you for the gifts you've placed in us. And God, I pray that you would awaken us today, Holy Spirit, to how we can unleash those in the life of this house and unleash those gifts in a world that needs to see them. Let us not sit on them any longer, Father, but let us use it for your glory. And God, that is our goal and our desire, is that Jesus would be made known and Jesus would be famous to the ends of the earth. We thank you for this opportunity to go and be your hands and feet. Would you use us now? And we'll give you glory. It's in the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.